This morning, I'd like to talk to you about water. This new start is all about the basics. Too many people think a new start is for the specifics, unfortunately. But I think the entire concept of new start is we are not doing basics very well. While we're so interested in what? Specifics. See, that's why we are not achieving anything. But if we do the basics, then everything else will be done by God, really. We need to really have the basics. I think one of the most important basics is water, really. Water. And air, you're going to have to breathe anyway, right? Yeah. And clean air, you know. But water, my, Satan did a good job for us to forget to drink water. And also, whenever God speaks us to drink water with his wisdom and the sparks, then we always say, do you have something to drink? What? Other than water, right? See, I think God is really having trouble to, you know, make us to drink really pure water. Really. And I found out water is really, really important. It is really important. If you you know, you're done with this retreat and go home, and if you can maintain water drinking habit, I don't want to say it is habit, you know, is habit is no good. The water drinking, what should I say? So as God is speaking to you, Herbert, why to drink water, you know? Then Herbert immediately realized he needs water, right? What I'm saying is that. What I'm saying is the freedom to drink water. Okay. Freedom to drink water. Because I think people are losing the freedom to drink water. Because they don't have even freedom to feel thirsty. See? Because too much noise, right? Too much wrong signal is overwhelming our genes. So when God's signal comes to make us to feel thirsty, we're not thirsty. God cannot achieve that. Why? Because we are, you know, so much in something else. Worried about it, angry about it, afraid about it, you know. And then God keep on sending her, drink some water, and you don't know. See? Like when you are very, very involved with something else, you cannot sleep, right? Even God wants you to put into the sleep to send his signal to activate melatonin genes. All this noise is what? Covering up melatonin gene, and this signal cannot reach. Why? Because you are accepting noise much more so than God's spark, right? So we, you know, then Satan says, oh, you're so much worried about anything, and that's why you cannot sleep. That, as if it is what? Normal. It's not normal. So I think if you have lots of things to worry about, yet God can still successfully activate melatonin gene and you can sleep. Isn't that a wonderful thing to achieve that? See, that's the way it should be with the Christians, right? Yeah. Of course, we all have things to worry about. But as long as we can put all this our worry, right, our burdens to on our loving, what? Jesus. Yeah. Then still, God can activate our melatonin genes, right? So that's the way we should be. And that's really, in terms of drinking water, sort of what? Feel like a drinking water. This is what people are losing today. According to the scientific studies, scientists find out, scientists can calculate how much water you need, you know. But then scientists can watch how much water people are actually drinking on average. It's far less than what we need. Yet, we don't feel that thirsty. Isn't that terrible? Yeah. So, we are being readjusted. See? So, we can survive, you know, pretty good without sufficient amount of water. Let me give you a very interesting example. If you go to Korea, I know the American food is getting really salty and hot nowadays, right? It's very, very terribly. It changes. Like when I came to the States 23 years ago, people couldn't eat this hot, salty food. I clearly remember. But now, from the teenage, all this potato chip, you know, corn, so salty and hot, and it's today, you know, it's awful. Salsa sauce. Americans are getting bad nowadays. You know, really, they're learning all this bad stuff from all over the world. You know, it America become basket case of problem here right now. Yeah. Because you are importing what? All the bad stuff. Because when I came here, stayed 23 years ago, people didn't enjoy that much Chinese food, right? Japanese food, Korean food, you know. Now the Americans are more crazier for, you know, all this wasabi, you know. You go to a Japanese restaurant, it's a horseradish kind of, you know, so hot, and people are enjoying nowadays. You know, now Mexican food came in, and the hot chili pepper, you know. Really. And pizza came in, you know. So this taste bud is now what? Totally being readjusted. Let me tell you about Korean food. Korean food is very salty, very hot, you know, spicy, very spicy and hot and salty. And we are so used to it. That's why, if I brought my wife, I feel sorry that my wife couldn't come, but in a way, well, yeah, Korean ladies know why. In a way, this food is hard, difficult, you know. And for me, it is wonderful food because I'm totally readjusted. If I go to Korea, eat Korean food, you know, I have to be very careful in the restaurant. And, you know, when I was in medical school, one of my physiology professor became world famous physiologist by studying Korean kidney. You know, so he's a kidney specialist. Okay, and not that he's a clinical physician, he's a kidney physiology specialist. Okay, how kidney works. The reason why he became world famous was he found out Korean kidneys are drastically different from American kidney. Yeah. What it is when you eat the food, then usually in the kidney, while kidney is excreting all these, what do you call? All these waste product, you know, in the urine. In the meantime, all this salt and other, you know, electrolytes goes to kidney, and the kidney is preserving them, and kidneys are in the business of reabsorbing what what your body really needs. So kidneys usually reabsorbing sodium, you know, potassium from the urine, you know. Then kidney finally filters out the waste, you know. So kidney has normally, healthy people's kidney are in the business of recapturing all these important stuff, which is filtered through. You know what this this professor found? Korean kidney is not interested in recapturing. Why? Because it keep on coming in, you know. Too much salt coming in. So Korean kidney has no need to reabsorb all those important stuff, really. So it shocked the whole world. Wow, kidney can adapt to what? To a daily eating habit. You know. That's why it is extremely difficult for the Korean people to be adapt to this type of food. You know. Why? Because when you begin to eat this, there's not much salt, right? Not much spices and so on. And while you're eating this food, your kidneys are still what? Still sending them all out. Then your body become what? Your body is depleted. And that's why you begin to crave the salty food, you know, spicy food. And then, so usually, like in Korea, you know, when we do the this program, people are dying for first 3 days. Then after the 3 days, then gradually, you know, kidney is readjusting, and then finally, you know, the kidney become normal. And I think my kidney came back to a normal now. Okay. But also at this time, with this kind of kidney, water drinking is not easy. Why? Because you already have what? Sort of lack of salt in your body. Then you put more water and you dilute, right? Mm-hmm. Then you feel you need more salt, see? So that's why water drinking become very difficult. And so even the water is so important when you have been eating very salty, spicy food, you know? And your water supply become minimal, really. And this is it really cause, big problem in your health without you really noticing it. Okay, all right. Okay. Water is important. Okay. Let me show you that. What is this here? Stomach. Okay. This is esophagus. This is duodenum, and this portion is the stomach. And they took out this small section of the stomach wall. Okay. Then they observed the difference between the people who drink sufficient amount of water and the people who are dehydrated, the people who are not drinking sufficient amount of water. Look at here. Okay. So, stomach has three layers of the wall, right? This is the outside the surface area, we call the peritoneal area, peritoneum, and then middle layer is muscle layer. Then this layer is gland layer. Okay, this layer is composed of different gland cells, or acid gland, mucus gland, or digestive enzyme gland. So this is this is probably the most important layer. Okay, this white layer. Now this layer is a surface area, and this is a mucus layer. And as I explained to you, stomach wall produces a very strong acid, right? Yeah. So for the self-protection, the stomach wall, this gland area, produces mucus, very thick mucus, and it coats. So this is a coated area, okay? This is a coat layer. Now, this is acid here, the round circle acid. So if you have sufficient thickness of the layer, of the mucus layer, then this acid cannot penetrate the mucus layer and injure, right? This gland area, okay? Gland layer, okay? So this is normal. This is healthy. When you're drinking sufficient amount of water, see, then your stomach is comfortable. Now, in this situation, look, the thickness of mucus layer is what? Shrunk, right? And now you can see this acid molecule is what? Penetrating these thinner layers of the mucus, and then it begins to injure this important gland layer. What is this situation? This is what? Dehydrated, right? The people who doesn't drink enough water. So, there's a lot of people have indigestion problems, sort of stomach ache, has a lot to do with this kind of situation. Just simply drinking water, okay? So water is such a basic thing. If you don't drink sufficient amount of water, you're going to have some sort of unconsciously creating problem, all kind of inefficiency problem. Okay, let me show you this picture here. This is a nerve, okay? Nerve. This is a nerve, okay? This is a cut section of nerve. If you magnify this cut surface of the nerve, then you can see, well, this is a neuron actually. You see what? All these micro nerve fibers. Yeah? Microfibers. So nerve look like one bundle, right? But inside one bundle there are what? All small fibers put together. Then if you take out this one single fiber and magnify, it looks like this. Look at this. It is sort of water tube. This dark area is the area of what? Water. Then they have, inside water, they have sort of a tunnel like a structure like this. See? Okay, let's magnify that tunnel like structure. It looks like this. See? There's an empty tube here, and then here's it, what? A kind of neurotransmitter vesicles saying this is like a serotonin or endorphin. We call that neurotransmitter, right? And this is transported. There's a transport molecules here. And being transported through the what? Tunnel. And so this transportation of these different kinds of the brain product, chemicals, called the neurotransmitter, is best achieved when there is what? Sufficient amount of water surrounding here. Interesting. So water does not have any kind of direct, right, impact. However, it has what? Such a vast indirect effect. Well, let me show you. Oops. Okay, this. Now, there is joint, okay? Joint. This is bone here. Bone, right? Bone. This is bone. And what is this white part? white part on the surface of the bone. There's a white part. Cartilage, right. Okay, cartilage. Okay. And look at this here. And this is blood vessel, okay, supplying this joint. So there's a blood supply goes like this, and then supplies water to cartilages, right? So this picture shows that how the water is being supplied to the cartilages, okay? Cartilage needs sufficient amount of water, right? Cartilage controls friction, right? Yeah. So your cartilage has to be what? Always smooth and has a good cushion, right? Now, if you, so this is normal, healthy. But if you don't drink enough water, what happens is, if you don't drink enough water, what happens is oops. Okay. I have that. My mouse lost the power. Got a little bit more juice. Look at this. Okay? Here you see the arrow. Large arrow means what? More water supply. This is a hydration of cartilage, right? From bone cells. So you can see the healthy cartilages. But here, healthy cartilage. Now look at this. Here's how many arrows we have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 arrows. Here. We only have what? Three arrows. There's not enough water supply. Then cartilage become what? Dehydrated, rough, and then friction. You can have arthritis whole lot more easy. And so, water affects everywhere. Okay? So, of course, you have to drink a sufficient amount of water to form what? For the kidney to form the urine, you know, and the cleanse of blood, we all know as a common sense. You know. But water is not just what being used to, you know, form the urine and to cleanse your blood, but it has everywhere. It has impact. See, like in your within your cells, in your cells. There's a lot of complex molecules are working, right? Different electrolytes like a potassium, you know, magnesium, and the sodium. All these requires what? Water to be what? To be active. When you don't have enough water, and this entire system slow down. See? So water is indirectly so important. Okay, so this is what I told you so far about water is the what? Scientific fact of the water. Now we need to come into the what? Truth of the water. Truth equals fact plus what? A spark, yeah. So what is truth about water? Water is extremely interesting stuff, really. So, we already saw water is this important. This is a medical, physiological fact. Okay. Now, truth about water. Okay. Let me tell you this thing. Husband is tired, you know, stressed. And he's finally coming home. And he phoned his wife, honey, I'm pooped. Oh, why, what are you cooking tonight, you know? So, wife, this loving wife says, oh, honey, you're tired, okay. I'm cooking something you love very much. and so on, so on. You know, when husband is tired, when he hears his wife is preparing some kind of dishes he loves, just even just hearing that, even thinking about that, is already what? Relieving some stress. You know, many people talk about stress relief, right? I think people are making stress relief so complex. You know, when it is so easy. See? So easy. They make just, when I was reading book and listening to the lecture, why they make it so complex? Sometimes make it, you know, how to relieve the stress, it sounds almost impossible. But you know what? To me, stress relief is so easy. Just let's have an example, okay? A 5-year-old boy went out, and the bigger boy is what's hitting him, insulting him, you look like a nerd, you know, so on. Okay. Yeah. So he was stressed. How can he so be relieved from stress?
Run to the mother's arms.
That's right. Mommy! The mommy. Okay, come here. Oh, you know, I look like a nerd. See, that's stress relief, isn't it? It's simple, you know that? I don't know why people make it so hard and so intellectually hard, you know? You read about it, sounds great, but you're trying to do it, you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. Really, it's simple. So, but unfortunately, we don't have that mommy, right? Yeah. The mommy's arm is the only place for the 5 years old boy to relieve the stress and to be re-strengthened, right? Yeah. I love you, reassuring. Yeah. Oh, can our mom do that nowadays? But it is good to have memory of mommy like that, right? Yeah. It is even helpful, see, to remember what my mom did when I was stressed out, right? So, I think for men, it is your wife, really. You know, your wife. Yeah. You know, when I was living single for almost 5 years, actually I was living single almost 10 years, actually, 10, no, no, 13 years, yeah. And I was thinking about remarrying, and then I was really hesitating. Is remarrying really gonna be good, you know? And I know we're gonna fight, right? There's no question that we're gonna fight because we two different people will be living together, you know, as a one person. There got to be conflict, right? And there's no question. If you don't have conflict, I don't know what's happening. But you are going to have a conflict, and so if you only think about the conflict you are going to have by marriage, you don't feel like marrying, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know why I got married? I decided, okay, I'm gonna get married. Just the idea that I have a wife is already what? Comforting. You know? Yeah. Why? You know? Because just the word alone, honey, good night, you know. You know, I was very lonesome, you know, when I was all by myself. And I was almost, you know, falling asleep. And I wish somebody says good night, you know. Well, I wish I have somebody to tell what? Good night. and the good morning sunshine too. This such a simple thing can be what? Very comforting for my genes. If you really love. If you don't love, anything is meaningful. Nothing's meaningful, right? No matter how much you say sunshine, it has no meaning. When there's no love, the meaning disappears. No matter how much you perform well, it doesn't touch your genes, right? Yeah. So this man is coming home, tired, stressed out. And then as soon as he walks in, and wife says, honey, I have warm water in the bathtub for you. And her husband walks into this warm water-filled bathtub, and then he submerged, right? What kind of response? See, at the moment you can say, you're what? Leaving. Why? Isn't it interesting? See? But if it is cold water, no. That means what? Cold love. You have no relief. It's warmness is what? The meaning of warmness is love. So, since our gene is responding to meaning, our gene absorbs anything which is similar to love, really. Which anything which sort of has some meaning as love. And then water itself is what? Very loving, isn't it? See? Like when you are formed, like 50 years ago, 45 years ago, in your mother's womb, you were born in what? In the water, see, in the water. So water to us is our home, isn't it? Our first home was inside the water. And that home was mother, right? And that water was symbol of what? Love and comfort. So when we were in mommy's womb, we were most comfortable, stress-free, right? So that's why, as we were born and we grew up, but yet we have contact with water, all this memory comes back. Guess what? I am the first to my mother's side, not to my father's side. My father's side, my father was a second son, so, you know, my grandfather had already grandchildren, you know, before I was born. But my mother's side, and my mother was the first child of her parents. So I was the first son, therefore I was the first grandchild. What a privilege, right? And my grandma was dying, and just, because I was a whole lot more comfortable than with my grandma than with my mother. My mother was very what? Very disciplined woman. My mother was strict. My mother always trying to teach me something. Like a parrot, right? Don't do that. Do this, you know. So she was more busy to teach me than what? Giving me love. So I never felt comfortable with mother. You know, whenever mother comes up to me and says, oh, what she's going to teach me. But when I go to my grandma, she's not interested in teaching me anything. All she's interested in was what? Loving me, hugging me, you know, touching me, you know, just was such a wonderful feeling. Just comfortable, and, you know. So my grandma died like, 45 years ago, right? 45 years ago. But even today, she is buried somewhere in Korea. But even today, I recall my grandma. All my genes are what? Because of what? Memory of love, memory of her love touching my genes. See, so our genes do the what? Conditioned reflex, right? Yes. So we have been in the water in the mother's womb for more than 9 months, right? And that was best time in my life, you know. We have that, maybe not conscious, but we have what? Such a powerful subconscious memory. Okay. That's why everybody loves water, right? When you take shower, So it is important for you to enjoy, to give that some new meaning to the shower. So, right. Yeah. Okay. So when you really submerge into the bathtub, honey, thank you. Your endorphin gene activates, serotonin gene activates. Dopamine gene activates, all the good gene activates. Why? You are in love. See, you're in love. Do you remember when you were in love? Just before you got married, right? Mm-hmm. I remember that. Wow, it was powerful, you know. Mm-hmm. And all my genes were always whenever she calls, you know, hello, she didn't have to say anything, just voice itself, you know. Boy, it's not that much nowadays, you know, it's gotta do something about it. So Americans call it magic, right? Yeah. We got to recover magic. You know, do you know how to recover the magic? And I think I think Lisi and Richard knows the magic now, right? They look, sounds like they have magic recovered, you know. Yeah. And before retreat, but I'm going to go to Florida for the new start. Okay, go. nothing, no spark, right? Now, when Lisa came back from a new start, and she couldn't see her husband suffering from job stress, you know. He didn't mention that last night. And Lisa said, honey, quit. Quit. Wow, you know, that's why their love, what? Love recovered. You know. Yeah. Honey, do whatever you think meaningful. Because Dr. Sangmi said what? Meaning is the thing. You know what you're doing is not meaningful. And that's why he got courage to quit, you know. He didn't just quit because he couldn't handle it. He quit because his wife said what? Honey, you better quit. Isn't that nice, right? Yeah. Then you can have this spark back, right? Electricity back, you know. And it's a genuine concern, right? Honey, money doesn't matter now. The meaning is the key point. Yeah. Wow, how much they sacrifice the meaning for money, right? Yes, for a long time. And that's why spark were disappearing. The genes are becoming collapsing, you know? Yeah. So I'm so happy to see them recovered, right? Yeah. Of course, financially maybe difficult, but happiness is there and hope is there, and new life they're tasting, right? You know. Good, wonderful. And so this is why we have wonderful memory, subconscious memory, let me call that, you know. If you happen to study study the psychology, you know, you know Carl Jung? Have you read about Jung? Yeah. Jung was talking about this, what I'm talking about, the subconscious what? Memory, you know. Yeah. Jung does not call it subconscious memory. Jung called it what? Collective unconsciousness. Yeah. And long time ago, I didn't know what he was talking about. But now I know he got the point, you know. So, so we have that. So that's why we all love water. Why? Because love has exactly same meaning to every one of us, right? Until you almost drowned. Until you have a horrible experience of drowning, you know, then water does not mean that good anymore. And but that's why, like our genes, our good genes activate when you come into contact with water. So to the what? Contact on the skin. Just eye contact, you just happen to what? See the lake. Woohoo! Right? Look at the lake! Lake is far away. Why your gene has to jump? It is the what? Meaning of the what, isn't it? Meaning, you saw the meaning. The lake per se should not activate your gene, right? But, that's my home. That's my mom, you know. Yeah. That's my love. Gene jumps. Yeah. So water drinking in this sense is a whole lot more important than simply what? Physiological, medical fact. But when you put both together, can you see how important impact water has in your health and the life, right? That's why I wish that you finally recover the freedom to drink water, you know. Yeah. And that's why Satan is polluting water, and he put everything into the water, you know. So rather than enjoying the genuine quality of the water, and you just simply enjoy what? Spiciness of the water, you know, this and Coke, you know, Pepsi, you know, these things. And you don't really enjoy water. You enjoy what? Some of the stuff in the water. The water become what? Secondary, see. This is what Satan is trying to do. See. So Satan is making us to enjoy what? Something specific rather than what? Basic. Exactly. In our religion, that's specifically that's what the problem is. Because, you know, basic relationship can only be formed after understanding character of God. See? The character is not there, but you are only trying to obey specific, you know, command of the God. See, when you have when you don't establish yet a basic relationship by understanding His fundamental quality, the character of God, then you're always worrying about what did I obey this? And according to your concept, you did everything right, but you don't have what? Joy or peace. You know why Cain killed Abel? Why Cain killed Abel? I was always questioning that. Why did Cain kill Abel? You know, the Bible simply says this. God accepted Abel's offering, right? And God rejected. Is that really true? You know, Bible always, God always. Who rejected God? Cain rejected God, you know that? But God says, I rejected Cain's offering. You know, you have to know this kind of expression. I call it divine active expression. Okay. You know, well, since we begin to talk about this, I need to get to this point, okay? This is a very important point, understanding character of God. Okay, Matthew, let's look at. We're going to come back to this tonight, okay? What marriage is that God put together? Okay, we didn't talk about that last night, right? Yeah, okay. So, I know some of you are offended. Okay. But you don't need to be offended, okay? The solution, answer will be beautiful. See, anything is beautiful when you know character of God. Yeah. Really. Yeah. Yeah. When you misunderstand God, a lot of things are ugly, you know. Yeah. Even though you did it right, still ugly. Matthew 7:21, not everyone, you know this verse so well, okay? Think about this verse, whether you really know this or not, see? And because when I was reading a long time ago, I wasn't feeling comfortable reading this at all, really. Because this is one of the most bothersome remarks Jesus made, okay? For many legalists, you know, it didn't bother them at all. But why? Because this should be this way, right? Why? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day. You know? In that day. That day, you have to know what day is that, okay? And I think that day is the day when? Day of the final judgment. Okay, yeah, final judgment. Okay. Because many Christians died, and they woke up, they resurrected. Then suddenly they found it is not what? First resurrection. They found out it is what? Second resurrection. Huh. Why me? It's second resurrection. Because he looked around all wicked people, you know, surrounded by wicked people. This is not my place, you know. God knows how hard I worked for him. Right? That's the God, Jesus is talking about that point. And the Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Don't you know? Is this a fact or not? It's a fact. Is it truth? Jesus have to tell them it is not truth. That's the agony of Jesus Christ. You know that? That's the agony of God. Because all his children thinks they were loyal. But according to Jesus, they were what? They were the side of the devil. Do you know how painful it is to let them know that? When Jesus loved them, see? And then I will declare to them, I never, what? Knew you. I never knew you. You know, this part, I was extremely uncomfortable. I could not understand. Why? Why I cannot understand? Do you know why not? Why? Jesus, that's right. Jesus supposed to know everything, everybody. Right? But Jesus says what? I never knew you. I never knew you. Why? He's omniscient God, right? He cannot say, I don't know you. What does he mean? Okay, then all good answer. But you know, what he really means is, you don't know me. Mm-hmm. That's what he means. Mm-hmm. See? This is the way God speaks. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You don't know me. Okay, mm-hmm. Irma, you don't know me is the fact. Okay? Actually, Irma don't know Sang Lee. But Irma insists she knows Sang Lee. See? And according to the fact, I have to tell Irma what? You don't know me, Irma. It is what? It is a cruel fact, isn't it? While Irma is insisting and she is thinking that she knows me. You know what? I have to put that blame on me when I love this innocent Irma who's insisting she knows me. What can I say? Irma, I don't know you. Wow. See? Can you see? Character of God there. Yes. You know, omniscient God, who does not have anything that he does not know, have to tell them, I don't know you. I never knew you. Then from that point on, these people will know what he means, right? Right? Because omniscient God is telling them, I don't know you means what? Or I see we didn't know him. See? Can you see the point?
Yeah.
Yes. When Jesus had to say this, this is the most painful moment of Creator, really. Yeah. I never know you. Then said what? Depart from me. Oh, Jesus have to say what? Goodbye. Why he has to say goodbye? Tell me. Why?
Because we depart from him.
At this point, the sinner completely departed from him already, right? Mm-hmm. So according to the justice of God, he cannot force them to stay with them anymore, right? Because they completely now belong to what? Satan. So Satan is pulling them to his side. And all Jesus can say is what? You can go. You can go. You can go. Bye-bye, my children. Depart from me. You can go. You know, thinking about it, I feel like a crying. So don't ever read this verse again like this. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You practice lawlessness. Don't. You're mischaracterizing Jesus, right? Absolutely mischaracterizing. See, we know how it is written. But we don't know how we should read. Just like a young lawyer. He knew all the laws, how it is written, but as far as Jesus was concerned, he did not know how to read them. Yes? Isn't that beautiful? This was the most scary thing in the Matthew, you know, to me. Depart from me. So I was scared, boy. When I happen to belong to these guys, you know. Then I go to, you know, don't you know that I did lots of New Star seminar, you know. And God said, Jesus says, Sangli, I never knew you. Depart from me. Get out of here. Is that the God's character? No, please no. See, let's not understand God that way, right? Yes. This is the way God speaks. You know, when you get to know God very well, you begin to develop this kind of habit. Putting all the blame on whom? On God too. Just like God put all the blame on what? On him. See, like when I bought, the $750, French-made, from Paris, the sunglasses. You know, well, we're on the ferry boat, and then I was sort of leaning and looking at water. And my young daughter, this is younger daughter, you know, she came over, Daddy, I want to see the water, you know. She was so short and she couldn't see. So I picked up, and look, it's so blue. And then she says, Daddy, would you put your sunglasses on me? I said, okay. So I put it on. And right on that moment, her older sister says, Sue, look at here! Yeah. Oh, my sunglasses, I love this. You know, isn't this beautiful? You know, this is expensive. How much? $750. Sue says, how much is that? She didn't even know, comprehend how much is $750. So for her, $5 was huge, right? Yeah. And how many times of $5? So I had to calculate that, 100 times plus, 25 times more, and 50 times. And it's 150 times more expensive than $5. It was just out of her reach, right? It was impossible for her to comprehend how valuable this sunglass is. She says, Daddy, your sunglass is more expensive than my doll. We paid for $85. She thought it was very expensive. Yeah, you have to spend almost, with this sunglass, you can buy $10, you know. She said, wow! Then this sunglass went into the water, you know. Can she pay for it? No. It was so overwhelming sin, right? She's responsible. She did it. You know what? At that point, she turned on me. She made her fist like this and pound on my chest, you know, while I was still, you know, holding her like this. And she said, "It's your fault, Danny! Why did you put that sunglass on me?" Why she is saying that? Why is she saying that? She knows she is saying something totally irrational, you know? Why is she saying that? Because she cannot be responsible. Absolutely cannot be responsible. Unable to be responsible. She wants to be responsible, but she found out what? Unable to be responsible. Then you gotta turn against God, right? Can you be responsible for your sin? No. We are unable to be responsible. Then we have to say, God, it's your fault. You know? Because you know He loves you, no matter what. She was hitting, pounding on my chest. Your fault. Okay, what should I answer to that kind of claim? I have to accept the claim as what? As a faith. Can I say, okay, Sue, come down here. Whose fault it is? Is that really my fault? It was you. Is it loving attitude? No. This is legalism, you know. I may tell him what's right, but you know what? I'm not teaching her the truth. No. See? The truth is love. See? It's not the fact. See? So all I can see, when you love someone, love take responsibility, right? When you say, "I love you, but I don't want to be responsible," forget that love, right? Yeah. See, that's why prophets talk like that, you know. Prophets talk like that. Let me show you. There's so many places. I'm expert on this, really. And because that was the one confused me most in my own Bible study, you know. I don't know why people don't tackle that. And let me show you this. Isaiah, is this Isaiah? Yeah, okay. Isaiah 63. Okay. Oh, Lord. Isaiah is crying out for his people, God's people, who is totally what? Corrupt and sinful. Isaiah is pleading to God, "Oh Lord, why have you made us stray from your ways?" Isn't that crazy? Satan did it, you know. But prophet knows, just like my younger daughter, right? He knows how to blame me, how to blame God. That's the faith. Okay? Prophet knows it's not God's fault, right? It's their fault, yet what? It's your fault! That means what? What does that mean? Be responsible for us. See, please. You know we're unable to be responsible. And I know you love me, so it's you to be responsible. This is what the New Testament John talk about what? Boldness. Boldness. This is what freedom means. Rather than, oh, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I dropped your... It is not a faithful relationship. Understand? And that's why I'm happy guy in Jesus Christ. See? Yeah. Yeah. I have no fear. And that's why I am fully motivated. See? Because no fear pushes me. I know I can refuse and I'll be okay. See? No problem. But I don't want to refuse, right? Because doing His will is more fun, definitely. Yeah. That's why Paul says what? If I do not do what? Spreading the gospel, woe unto me. You know, when I was in legalism, I read that Bible. If I do not do the God's work, He's going to woe me. Terrible. I feel this way today. If I don't do this work I do now, I don't know what am I going to do. That's woe, right? My life going to be meaningless. What am I going to do with my life? That's woe, isn't it? Yeah. It's not that God says, Sangni, you're not going to do what I told you to do. Okay, you're gonna find out what kind of God I am? Then you'll do it. No, not that. Not that at all. See? Look at it. Why have you made us stray from your ways and hardened our heart from your fear? See? Wow. See, this is Isaiah's what? Isaiah's personal relationship with God. Amen, right? Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. That's right. See? Yeah. So, Herbert, remember this, right? Remember to have this kind of relationship. Yeah. Hey, it's your fault, Daddy. You know? So my daughter says, wow, why did you put on? So I said, oh, honey, I'm so sorry, it's my fault. Then she says, ah, Daddy, I'm so sorry, it's my fault. Flip-flops. Why? You can flip-flop in love. Eh? So, dear husbands, when woman knows you love her, then woman flip-flops, okay? Yeah. Let her flip-flop, okay? It's normal, right? Yeah. If your wife cannot flip-flop, that means your wife is what? Afraid of you. Okay. And your wife is afraid of being criticized. Amen. See? Why are you changing your mind so often, you know? Huh? Like that. You know. But woman by nature, you know, right? So, give her the freedom to flip-flop, okay? Don't think she is crazy. You know, if you think your wife is crazy, everyone else's wife is crazy too. Many times when I didn't understand woman in my first marriage, you know, I thought my wife was mentally, you know, wrong. Then I realized, you know. So isn't that nice? To God, our God in this Bible allows that what? That kind of attitude, that kind of boldness, that kind of freedom. You know. Yes. I think the biggest example for the boldness is Abraham. See? When? When? Do you know when? when Abram revealed such a boldness to God? Sodom and Gomorrah, that's right. Yeah. Abram is outright criticizing God. You know, how can you do such a things as a judge of the world? You better do something better than that. Really? And he said what? Far be it from you. Far be it from you, exclamation mark. You know what that means? He shouted at God. That's why Abram is the most faithful man. It's because he could shout at him. Far be it from you. Far be from you means what? It doesn't make any sense. I never thought you could do such a thing. That's far be it from you. You know, God was so misunderstood by Abraham at that moment. This is a beautiful story. Beautiful story. And God keeps silence until Abraham is done. So, and Abraham even says, how can you do such a thing as a judge of the world? Don't you think you have to practice justice? Wow. See, God took all criticism, but God never scolded Abraham. If I were God, probably I said, shut up. And Abraham finished the question by asking, if there's a 50 righteous, right? If there's a 50 righteous, if there's a 50 righteous, aren't you going to save all 50? No. If there's a 50 righteous, what did Abraham say? I was wrong. What was Bible says? If there's a 50 righteous, tell me. You have to know. Abraham says, if there's a 50 righteous, aren't you going to, what? Save whole city. It is totally different from what we think. I was so shocked because I thought Abraham said, if there's a 50, aren't you going to save that 50? While you're killing others, you know? That's not what Abram said, you know? Well, let's find out. Genesis is 17, 18. I think it's 18, right? Okay. Okay, here. Yeah. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not, what? Spare it for the 50 righteous that they were in. Because there's a 50 righteous, wouldn't you, what? Spare all city. See, Abraham's justice was different, you know. Yes. Different from what we, most of us, think. Suppose, okay, now, then he says what? Far be it from you to do such thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked so that righteous should be as wicked. Far be it from you! Exclamation mark. Shouting. I don't like you. You are not the same God I know. See? shall not judge of the all earth too, right? Isn't that crazy? A little creature is judging God. You better do better than that. What a faith. What a boldness. Okay. It is very hard for the orientals like me to get it, really. Because we are not supposed to behave this way to the elderly. No, never. But biblical concept, even to your creature, even to your dealing with God, if you think he's wrong, you can challenge. God give you that freedom. See? Wonderful God, right? Yeah. And the Lord says, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I'll spare all the place for their sakes. Wow! Abraham assumed he will never do such a thing, right? He'll never spare, forgive all city. But it was contrary to Abraham's assumption. God says, if there's a 50, I'll forgive all cities. Then Abraham said, oops! He was misunderstanding God, right? Yeah. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now who I am but the dust and ash. Now, Abraham, I'm sorry, right? Yeah. Suppose there are five less. So Abraham have to reconfirm whether it has something to do with what? Numbers of righteous. Five less. And God says what? Even though there's five less, it doesn't matter. I will spare whole city. And then Abraham goes on, how about them 40? How about 30? Then he says, sorry, God. Let me ask you one more time. How about 10? God says, it has nothing to do with number. The problem is what? There is none righteous. None righteous. But God still have a little hope for the lot, isn't it? That's the story. Yeah. That's the story. Yeah. And so, it is the theme of Sodom and Gomorrah is not that the righteous God destroys the sinful people. See? The theme is what? Throughout this whole story, you find what? True, wonderful character of God. Destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'll talk about later. See, because I need to talk to you about creation. Then you can understand what destruction really means. Yeah. Without talking about creation itself, creation processes, destruction is, you can misunderstand destruction so easily. So, this is how God speaks. So, God always take what? Active responsibility. Active responsibility. That's love. So, that's why I call divine active expression. So, if you don't understand this divine active expression, you will always be scared of the Bible. See? Right? Divine active expression. Okay. Now, so that's why, like water, when you get into the empty bathtub, can you say aha? Uh-huh? Then you're definitely crazy man, right? Yeah. Look at this. It's not the water. It is what? The meaning of the water is activating your gene. Even though there is a barrier between water and the gene, right? Therefore, when you're having all this medical, according to medical scientific fact, water is so important. But also, on top of that, water has what? Whole lot more meaning than anything else. It represents Holy Spirit for you. It represents God's character for you. That's why in the Bible, the voice of God is described as what? Sound of many waters. See? Yes. Sound of many waters. That's why it is worth to drink water. Right? Yes. Water. And you know how much to drink. Huh? At least 8 glasses water, right? Yeah. As soon as you wake up, 2 glasses. Then between your breakfast and lunch, 2 glasses. Then afternoon, 2 glasses. Then, you know, evening lecture, you have to drink at least, you know, a glass. And then, so 7 to 8. See? It'll be then all your cells will be sufficiently hydrated. And all your cells will be feeling like they are in loving warm water tub. See? So, water drinking is so important to have a stress relief. Why? Because so, when you have a stressful situation, you don't have a mother, you don't have a grandmother, they all died, right? And then you can go back to what? Memory. If you have a loving husband, you know, honey, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's so simple, isn't it? If I have a loving wife, and Sangli is such a good Christian, he could never complain to anybody else. But when I go to my wife, I can say, I hate him. Yeah. And she says, honey, it's okay. We are so important to each other, you know? We are, when there's a love. Yeah. So that's why we desperately need to invite love come into our life, right? Yes. But almost all of us have nobody, right? You know, then we have to go to the arm of Jesus Christ. That is what? Studying the Bible and knowing the true character of God. The best thing is, in your struggle, daily struggle, in your daily tension coming from the interrelationship with your people around you, you can what? You can invite Jesus. And even though you are still insulted, even though you are still being misunderstood, as long as you are in the arm of Jesus, so you don't have to overreact. You don't have to rush back, you know, and give a terrible response and hurt the other person. Then you just stay calm. Jesus, if I don't have you, my, but I'm glad I have you. Then you have peace. Then your spouse will say, wow, wow, she has peace this world cannot give. See, this is the way you relieve the stress. This is the way let water work for you, right? So water is such a basically important. So, on top of this wonderful water influence, then you have a true water, which is Word of God, which is Holy Spirit, which is the love of God. Then you have water inside your cell, then water, love coming from outside you. Then you will be like a stress-free person. Praise God for that. Amen. Yes. Let's pray. Dear loving Father, oh Father, we are looking for stress relief all around, in many different methods, many different tricks, breathing technique, this exercise, that's the exercise, relaxation technique. Oh Father, we are ignoring you, aren't we? You are there. always there for us to have relief from this evil influence of the evil spirit. So, Father, please let us drink water and then let us drink your love, your word, your Holy Spirit. So let us live inside you. So therefore, you are in us, we are in you, Father. So this is the kind of peace the world cannot give. Let us have that, Father, during the daily struggle of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, when the prelude she plays, do you know what you should do? Put the hand right here, just like a kindergarten kid, okay? Then you begin to be like, dun, da, 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 da. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Cast all your burden on our loving Jesus. Smile, smile, smile. Just like a flower's blooming, you can be joyful in the Lord. Put a smile upon your face. Cheer up and sing together. Cast all your burdens on our loving Jesus. Smile, smile, smile.